the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Thank you very much for joining us here on the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry. Sitting across a computer screen from my co-host, Bernie. How are you, my friend?
Good, brother. Got a bit of a cough, so I'll try not to cough in anyone's ear hole today, but it's not COVID, so that's all good.
And you picked up a cough from a tradie who visited your house. What's happening? You're getting your kitchen refitted.
Yeah, getting the kitchen done, getting the bathroom done. It was a Sparky, actually. Came in and said he was coughing his guts up, and I'm just looking at him, and he's like, no, don't worry about it. It's not COVID. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want your cough, you know. I don't care so much about it having a cool marketing campaign attached to it. A burly cough still sucks balls, so I still wanted nothing to do with it. But anyway, you might have some editing to do.
The show goes on, buddy. Well, I thought we'd start tonight and talk about the grand final for the NRLW, which essentially is the 2021 grand final, because they're going to have another one this year. But the Roosters and the Dragons battled it out. Did you get the chance to watch the game?
I did watch the game, and I thought it was a brilliant game. I was very impressed. The Roosters looked good. I don't think they were the favourites. I think St. George were the favourites. I think Brisbane was still the favourites, and they weren't playing. So whenever you have like a dominant team like the Broncos are, and then in the semi-final you get a team that rises and knocks them out and then goes on to the grand final, you kind of want them to win the grand final because they kind of deserve it by taking out the superpower. You know, I think if St. George had won it, it would have been, you know, it still would have been like, well, yeah, but can you beat the Broncos? You know, it's the weird thing was that they were placed like fifth 2 weeks ago, like, because their competition's so short. And it was only because the Broncos beat us, the Eels, by 16+, that the Roosters got into the top four. So then the Roosters knocked out the Broncos and then went on to win. So the Broncos have only got themselves to blame by knocking us out of the competition. So technically speaking, it's a victory for the Eels.
Okay. I do like your three-dimensional chess there, mate.
So yeah, a bit convoluted, but I'll go with it.
Yeah, those dots somehow joined together. Now, the female Dragons team sort of channeling a little bit of the males Dragons team, a little bit of choking there in the final. So I don't know what they've got to do to shake that. But hey, they made it to the grand final, so good luck to them. But yeah, the Roosters obviously were the dominant team, and congratulations to the ladies.
They played very well. I was impressed. Still not big on the names. I'm really not. I know Millie Boyle, who plays for the Broncos. Outside of the Eels players, who I only know about four of, it's just really taken a while to for the names to get into my noggin. That's just me, though. But it's great to see it broadcast. It's great to see Millie Boyle also on the Matty Johns show afterwards, bringing the girls in to, you know, it's rugby league. You don't need to go men's and women's. You do when they're playing each other. But for promotional purposes, they should be cross-pollinating, and I think that's what they're doing. So it was good. I love Millie. She's a bit of a character. She got a bit loaded at the Dally M's and was dancing around and doing interviews because she won. She'd had a few, so channeling all the men's drinking habits, it seems.
Yeah, but she won, so she deserves to have a couple of beers. So I'd hate to see it turn into where no players can not drink alcohol, and they've essentially got to be, you know, Mormons or the Amish. I mean, come on, if you've just won the Dally M Award, and they're giving out, how can they give out free champagne and free drinks and then criticise a player for having a bit too much? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you got professional athletes who probably haven't been drinking that much for the last, you know, few months, have been training nonstop, and they finally going to let their hair down. And the Broncos had been knocked out too, so she didn't have any games coming up. And here's a few free bottles of champers. You get stuck in. Oh, she's a bit wobbly. It's like, you know, give her a break. You're the one who's, you know, it's entrapment, if anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't drink champagne, but if you give me free champagne, I'm on it.
Yeah, that's what weddings are. That's why everyone gets a little bit wobbly at weddings. It's like the free champagne. It's like, I don't normally drink this shit. It's just like lolly water, and then everyone's punching on. The drunk uncle's got a hold of someone, letting them know what for. So, but the game was a brilliant game. Once again, the referees, they've really got to do something about the referees for the girls, because they're not up to scratch. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the touchies not chiming in enough, or they're just not experienced enough. But there were some, you know, really, some really bad mistakes being made. But then again, Eels versus Titans, probably the worst refereeing I've seen in a long, long time. One-eyed Eel. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's the one-eyed Eel.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, but geez. I mean, I'd rather have Casey Badger refereeing our game over Rin Tin Tin or whoever the hell that was. Bloody doing us on the weekend.
Let's move on to the 75th anniversary of the club. So obviously time of celebration, and I believe they're sort of coinciding a little bit of a celebration around our bye this weekend. When I say bye, I mean we're playing the West Tigers, so look, it might as well just be a bye.
Yeah.
But they are they're going to be obviously some ceremony, some presentations, but and I think there's something special going on with the tickets, is there not?
So I think they bailed on that, but there was a lot of publicity saying that they're only going to sell tickets to members. It was the first time that it's ever been done by any club. I don't think they sold enough tickets, because I looked to see if we could, because we were briefly discussing going to it, and I said to you, you know, it's members only, it's going to be sold out. But I had a look online just to see, and it didn't say anything about it, and I looked and I couldn't see anything updated. So I think that they might have allotted their members tickets, and then they've gone, oh, hang on, we're going to have half empty bloody stadium here. So I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, it was big news. So.
Well, happy anniversary to the Parramatta Eels, and hopefully we can, in the next 75 years, win a few more premierships, mate.
It was weird, because it's like when we were talking to Peter Wynn on the weekend, and it was like, oh, you know, remember 1986 grand final, and, you know, this happened and that happened. And just when you talk to him, it's just like, that was the last time we won. Like, he's talking about a game as if it was so long ago, and it was so long ago. It was just like, it's like, you know, granddad telling you stories about, you know, back in the 30s or something. And it's just like, and you're like, hang on, we haven't won it. The game he's talking about was so long ago. Surely we're due. Like, surely. I don't want to summon Murphy. I think it's, you know, like, we always talk about Murphy's Law, and I think you might have summoned Murphy by talking about the Tigers as a bye. So hopefully you haven't summoned Murphy by saying that. But when I was talking about the tradie who's here, the Sparky, when he started coughing or something, and I said to him, oh, you know, my immune system's pretty good anyway. And I said, oh, I've just summoned Murphy there. And he looked at me and he goes, do you do that too? I went, what are you talking about? He goes, a guy I work with, he says, you know, if shit starts going wrong during the start of the day, he'll go, I'm not at one with Murphy today, I'm going home. And he'll fuck off home. He's like, I'm not at one with Murphy today. And I was just like, okay, maybe it's not just us. But Murphy's Law, I think Murphy's been against us for a long, long time, 1986. And now with all of our wingers getting wiped out and everything that's happening, we need to make peace. I don't know how we're going to make peace with Murphy. 75 years the club's been running. We've had 4 grand final wins, you know. So anyway.
Speaking of summoning Murphy, I would like to play a little bit of audio just here.
2022, year of the Eel. I mean, I'm looking forward to trying to defend the premiership in 23.
So if I'm summoning Murphy on saying that the Tigers is going to be an easy match,
yeah,
what do you have to say about your prediction earlier in the season that we were not only going to win, but you were basically looking forward to 2023 with the knowledge that we were definitely going to win.
See, but this comes back to my original theory with Murphy, because normally I praise be to Murphy and I don't discuss the grand final. I say, if we happen to get in the top eight, geez, it'd be nice to get in the top four, maybe make grand final, perhaps, if we're lucky enough, have a good game and maybe one day we can eventually win. Not this time. This time, I think Murphy demands some confidence with grand final. Not confidence against the Tigers. He's gonna bitch slap us for that one. But confidence for the grand final, I think it's my new strategy for this year. And it's worth a try. 71 years of not winning the grand final. It's worth trying something new.
The Parramatta's podcast. Because fuck Melbourne.
Let's get into it. And obviously, the previous week, we didn't have an injury, which was great. But we have had a horror run this year of injuries. And this is going to impact us. Now, I did like the fact that in the post-game interview with BA and Gutho, they were talking to Gutho about it, and his prediction is that the next person to take the field is actually going to be BA. So BA is going to don the jersey, and he's actually going to fill in for the injured players. But we have a real predicament here.
Well, BA can always put himself on the bench and just sit on the bench and not actually play himself. I mean, that's one strategy that he seems pretty fond of. So he'll just name himself as 17th man and just sit there and watch from his get some splinters in his ass. We do have a predicament. So what to do? Now, we did buy who I am calling the Flaming Mullet. I forget his first name, but his last name is Cini, C-I-N-I. I'm pretty sure. We got him from the West Tigers. So it might be a good strategy to bring him in. So I think Hayes Perham is a much better player. He should be in the team, but where do you put him? He's a six, he's a seven, he's a one. He's a small, fast man with high skill levels. I don't know if you put him on the wing when you've got a specialty winger such as Cini. Once again, don't know if I'm saying his name right. The Flaming Mullet. You stick the Flaming Mullet on the wing, I think, this week, because he came from the Tigers. He's going to be wanting to show up against the Tigers. I think that's a good strategy to have. You stick it to your old teammates. That was definitely the case against the Titans as well. So we had, you know, a few players. I was going to say Mitch Rain, but he didn't exactly light it up when he came onto the field. He basically came on for 10 minutes, dropped the ball, and then... you know, that, and then ran off with his tail between his legs. Bryce Cartwright, former Titan. And you might have noticed that Will Smith was absolutely firing up against Nathan Brown. So obviously we got rid of Will Smith last year and Titans picked him up. So he was really trying to get the victory for them. And but that's what you want. You want your player to go in and go, you didn't want me? Here, you know, have some of this. Greg Marzu was the same. He was one of our wingers and we didn't want him. And then he just absolutely bollocked over for a try. So I would stick the Flaming Mullet in this week. And I would save Hayes just for a little bit, because Hayes he's an absolute gun. Just watching him in reserves just tear everyone up. And it's just a matter of when he comes in and where we're going to stick him, you know, but it's really good to have a backup fullback of his caliber just sitting there, because I don't think that Bailey Simonson is a backup fullback as well, but Hayes is better than him. So this week, look out for the Flaming Mullet. If I was coach, he'll be nowhere near the team because BA's the coach. So we'll probably see Warramu Grigg make his debut on the wing this week or something ridiculous. He likes to play guys out of position. So Flaming Mullet. Or Hayes Perham, it's my call.
Okay. Well, speaking of the game, so I was actually at a night of MMA / grappling fights. There's a gym in town here in Gladstone, Central Queensland, and they have a program where you can sort of sign up at the start of the year and you train for 6 months and you get to have a fight. So one of my mates from the reserves, he was an amateur boxer, and he's like, I just want to have one MMA fight. I want to have one MMA fight. So he signs up in January, and someone else on this fight card got their jaw broken. And so my mate stupidly went, oh yeah, I'll jump in. So he's essentially had about 5 weeks worth of training instead of doing the whole 6 months. And he went and he had a fight. He had an MMA fight, got smashed, got stopped in the first round. But all night I'm watching the footy on mute on KO on my phone. So I missed all of the commentary. I'm sitting there and I don't know what's happening. And I'm going, gee, there's a lot of captain's challenges in this match. What's happening here? And so it turns out that the Titans were taking the piss. They found a loophole. And hey, credit to them. If a loophole's there, people are going to exploit it.
Yeah.
So it's obviously something that they're going to have to review because they were essentially stopping the play so that they could go back one and implement the captain's challenge. But they seem to get the rub of the green a little bit.
100% they got the rub of the green. Now, those captain's challenges, what they were saying was that last week they were told that if you do a captain's challenge, it's for what the penalty is for. So with their players laying on top of our players forcing the penalty, that's the penalty. So if you challenge the penalty, you're challenging that you were lying on top of the player and not letting him get to his feet. And that's the argument. So I just think it wasn't enforced correctly. So they were saying, well, you know, we challenge that I was getting pulled back over there, and he was. So it should have been a penalty. So you can't say that, you know, it shouldn't have been a penalty. The right decision was made, but it just doesn't look good. You don't want to see players just lying over the top waiting for the penalty. And the ref outright said, if it's incorrect, you're going to the bin. If it's not a penalty, you're going to the bin for a professional foul. So you're rolling the dice big time with that one, but it just doesn't look good. I didn't like it at all because where does it stop? It's like, oh, okay, well, I want to challenge kickoff. You know, well, let's go back 20 minutes and I was held back here. You know, I mean, where does it stop? Obviously, that's ridiculous, but they found a loophole. It'll be plugged by this weekend, I dare say. So that'll be the end of that. And it'll be just, it's for what the penalty's for. And the penalty will be for holding down if you want to challenge that. Good luck, because you're going to the bin. But there was plenty of other decisions. The Junior Paulo head high tackle was an absolute joke. So you've got AJ Brimson. You've got him getting hit in the shoulder. He rolls over like he's had his head taken off. The video ref says, we've found contact to the head. They say to Junior Paulo, you're on report, you're in the bin. And then you've got AJ going, no, it's in my shoulder. Yeah, I don't need to go off for a HIA because I got hit in the shoulder.
Yeah,
well, hang on, you know. And everyone's like, oh, he was trying to say don't send Junior off. No, he wasn't. He waited for him to get sent. And then he went, no, I got hit in the shoulder. So he didn't go off for a HIA. Mm. We lose a player for 10 minutes. And then it happens in, well, I can't remember, but it was another game. And it happened again, and the exact same tackle. The guy got put on report. It was a penalty, no sin bin, you know. So it was like, okay, double standards again. But there was plenty of instances like that. The Andrew Fifita try in the corner, they looked at it once from head on at full speed. It was like, hang on a second. Like, can we see some reverse angles here? There's no way in hell he scored that try. Now, people are arguing, saying, oh, I saw a slow motion from the sideline. It's like, well, how come we didn't get to see it? There was another one where Simonson was hit high in the in goal. There was just so many, like, little things. Now, take all that aside. What we've done once again is allow a team to get back into the competition. Like, we were just running over the top of them, 20-0. We really, really got to learn to just put our foot on the throat and just execute a team. Like, it's just like, I don't care what penalties or what happens. Like, you got to learn to just put a game away. And we've always invited teams back into the play and back into the game. And it's annoying as an Eels fan because you can see the momentum and you can see the opposition, you know, getting on top of us.
Yeah, and you could see that coming from a mile off. As you correctly said, that a 20-point lead really means nothing when you're the Parramatta Eels. Because we just, as you say, we invite them back in. I thought Moses had a good game. Obviously, he missed a couple of kicks again, but that's okay. He had that great run, and then he undid his good work when he actually passed it to a Titans player. So that was kind of awesome. Cancelled itself out with that, but he was still he's such a great player. And because I initially, like a couple of years back, I just couldn't really see it. I couldn't see what was so special about him because, you know, his set play that he does where he just does a slow run and then he passes it to the guy who's running 20 meters behind him straight on. I really wasn't overly impressed with him, but he's really this year and last year, I think he's really stepped up. I thought our defense was good again, which was great. We still had three people in tackles, which we just did not have for the first three games. I had no idea what was going on. I don't know if you remember, and it's different, but I'm just drawing a parallel. But I think it was the Newcastle Knights years back where in the off season they were trying this new thing where essentially they around the play of the ball and where they sort of weren't marking. Do you remember that? And it got exposed really quickly in the first couple of rounds and they abandoned it because they thought it was going to be about a really fast play, but the opposing team just tackled the player and that was the end of it. I don't know if you remember that, but I draw the parallel here in that we just had in those first 3 weeks, we were just one person in a tackle and the other player offloading or getting out of the tackle and running and then one person would tackle that guy. So I like the fact that we've changed that. We've essentially got on top of that and we're now seeing three, sometimes four players in a tackle. So that is good to see. I did think Junior was hard done by, but at the same time, you know, I sort of joked to you on the weekend that maybe this is our new strategy. Our players get sent off for 10 minutes just so they get a rest because BA is not resting our forwards.
I'm really worried about RCG because he will allow himself to be absolutely flogged. I don't know how many minutes he did last week, but I think he was up to 54 minutes before he came off for a break. And then he came back on. So I'd be curious to see how many minutes but he's going to get injured. I mean, and what was I saying about Sean Lane? I was saying he looked exhausted. He's been flogged. He's going to try and pace himself. He couldn't. He did a hammy. He's torn his hamstring because BA flogged him. He's not supposed to be an 80-minute player. I mean, and that's what's going to keep happening. So you're right. I mean, maybe it's good for Junior to have a breather. I would love RCG to have a breather just because he's so impactful. He's just brutal. And it's like BA, it's just like, well, we'll keep doing it for 80 minutes. It's like, you can't have a guy out there swinging that hard for that long against the biggest players in the competition who are getting rotated and ran at him. So RCG is my next one that I'm worried about. I think he might be the next one that goes off injured. I really hope not. But you could really see Sean Lane was going to get injured, and sure enough, he did. So we really need Murata Niokoroi to come back. He's an absolute animal.
Yep.
We really need him to come back shortly. And sad news for Wonga Blake, out indefinitely. They haven't said the season. It's just they've got no idea. So it could be the season, probably won't be. We'll go back to the Mitchell Moses, what you were saying about Mitchell Moses. Now, he wasn't all that good a couple of years ago. He was very predictable. His defense was horrible. He worked so hard on his defense. I mean, rumors coming out that he was staying back, working on his conversions. He was just working on his defense. He just gets a slightly better every year. And you can really see that he's got the skill level and the hard work's starting to catch up to his potential. Very exciting about him. But then you see it with Wonga Blake. He's not a winger. Stick him on the wing. He got a couple of massive bombs, made him look like a fool. He obviously went and worked on it because he hasn't dropped one since. So gone off and positionally, he's fantastic. He's on the wing. He can't come in any further. So he's like, he's way out on the wing, gets the ball, and then he darts across. He's been brilliant. So I don't know where we're going to go. I don't mind that much because it's this time of year. So, you know, as long as he's not gone for the season, we start getting the new fellas come through. So Hayes Perham has to be in this team somewhere. I don't care where, but he needs to be in this team. He's a brilliant player. We need him there for the finals. I was going to say grand final. I'm trying to praise Bea Murphy, but I got to go back to what I was saying. I'll We need him for the grand final. We need him. We need him for the grand final. Yeah. You, I know you play with fire, you get burnt, and I'm messing with the big boy here. Praise be to Murphy. But I think we need him. We need him on the bench in the grand final. And I'm not sure about Bryce Cartwright. Bryce Cartwright will help get us there. But I think that Hayes is he's just got a little bit more versatility, I would say. So Mitch Rain, I don't know what the plan was there. I don't know what if the plan was to bring Reed off after 55 minutes or 60 minutes or however he played. But as soon as Reed came off, we fell in a hole again. We just, you know, the whole team fell apart. That's concerning because come the end of the year, once again, if Reed gets injured, you know, see you in 2023, and everyone's pretty much outright written us off for 2023. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
I'm wondering if that medical schools are teaching their knee specialists that they should be attending Parramatta Eels games because, you know, we're just getting so many players out with leg injuries and ACLs. Oh, it's terrible, terrible. But yeah, I don't know, mate. We certainly can't afford more injuries, that's for sure. But I don't understand, and perhaps you can enlighten me here, but I don't understand how we've got this like kitty of money where we can now just go out and buy other players. I always worry about salary caps and things like that. But
so it's referred to as the war chest, which I don't know that much about, but I believe that there are elements in play with the war chest that allows you to go out in emergency situations throw cash at someone, and it doesn't count towards the salary cap as such. I don't know that much about it myself, I just know that there is a war chest. Because I remember when Israel Folau was going to come out and everyone was like, throw the war chest at him, throw the war chest. And I'm like, what the hell, where's this war chest come from? But, you know, and that was when I first started to hear about it. But apparently there is, when they want to keep players in the game, the war chest can come out. And normally what they do is when players have been with a team for so long, the war chest can come out to keep them with that team, but that certainly didn't help Adam Reynolds. So, don't know about the old war chest. Once we'll have to look into it. We'll look into the war chest.
If you want to try your hand at podcasting, then be sure to check out Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is an easy-to-use podcasting platform that, with the click of a few buttons, gets your podcast on all the big sites like Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Buzzsprout is designed so that anyone can create an account, log in, and have an episode out within minutes. The site also has a huge library of video tutorials to help you with every step of the process, from recording, improving your audio quality, how to build an audience, and more. They even have a helpful question and answer section if you ever get stuck, where you can read up on tips or speak to an expert online. Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. If you have an idea for a show, sign up for a free account and give it a go. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world.
Well, we got the victory on the weekend, which is excellent. I would like to bring up the one thing that came out of that game that has annoyed me all week, which is all these false fake news headlines about the streaker that took the field. Woman had jeans and a bra on. There was no streaking whatsoever in that. You read the headline streaker and you click on it and you're expecting to see something. You don't. I've been so disappointed in it.
What we had was a pitch invader. There was no streaking involved.
Correct. Pitch invader,
not a streaker. And everyone's saying, oh, that she got what she deserved. She got absolutely poleaxed. Now, she came out and did an interview. She said it was a bucket list thing. She's always wanted to do it. She said, I got what I deserved. She said, I didn't get hit that hard. It was just because he hit me and I went up high. It looked spectacular, but she said that she wasn't actually impacted that hard. And she said he most certainly shouldn't lose her job. So credit to her for coming out. But back to your original point, I mean, it was definitely not a streaker. You can't be discouraging streaking because it's an Australian tradition for girls to be out running. The guys, you know, the guys can put their thing away, and it's not my cup of tea. So no streaking for men. They should definitely They should definitely get crash tackled. Although the naked men don't get crash tackled as much as the women, do they? But what I did find funny was that the Sharks game on the weekend, they had a pitch invader. They had three, actually. Yeah. The pitch invader came out and he had the flare. And he was being a bit of a knob, and everyone was just going, you know, hit him. And they did a bit of a tackle on him. And then they ended up hog-tying him, and everyone cheered that. But then this other clown jumped out, and he ran straight at the security guards and crash-tackled the security guard. It was almost like well, we're going to give you one back, you know, if you're going to start this game. You have to be careful with the Australian public. If you turn this into some sort of a bloody, you know, a TikTok event or something that everyone with their mates can go and crash tackle the security, you know, it could go next level. I'm all for it though. Although they don't show, show the streaker, but they do show the pitch invaders, and I have an issue with that.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, there was one incident where a guy ran nude into a rugby game. I don't know if you remember this. And the game's going on, and this guy was like super fast, and he actually was running past the other players. He got the ball and essentially got tackled to the ground, and he was playing the ball. He literally joined the team nude. I don't know why he had to be nude to do it, but he went out there and he actually executed a play. And there's one more I want to add, which happened last year, and this is probably my favorite, was that serial pest in the UK who he went onto the cricket field when England were playing India, and he actually ordered field changes, and the team actually went along with him. He convinced people that he was part of the team. I'm all for shenanigans. I'm all for the silly stuff. And you know, credit to that girl. I know there are serious fines with this as well. I mean, the pitch invader at the Cronulla one, or the Sharks and Tigers, he was actually a climate protester, and he's been given 3 months in jail because of previous incidents on top of this one. But I was led to believe that it started with the cricket, I believe, where they started bringing in like $5,000 fines.
It's up to 10 now,
and then they turned it into 10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they turned it into 10 because guys were getting 20 of their mates to chuck in a couple of $100, and then they go, yeah, cool, I'll go and do it. And so they put it to 10. But yeah, so that girl's probably, although it seems like public sentiment is with her, so perhaps they're a little bit scared, the NRL are scared that she is going to turn around and sue because she got tackled so hard. So she might get off with a slap on the wrist. But yeah, as much as I'm for these shenanigans, there is a heavy fine that comes with them.
Well, you got the incident too with Andrew Simons when he laid the shoulder into the streaker and the streaker went absolutely flying. So, and they do it a bit where the actual sportsman will take it into their own hands to do a crash tackle, or they'll apprehend the people. But I remember back in the old days with the great streakers, the girls who would just run out, you know, with their bikini bottoms and no top on, and they'd just run up to the players and the players would give them a hug, you know, the Max Walker and all that, give them a hug, Rod Marsh, give them a hug, and you know, give them a whack on the bum, and off they run, and you know, everyone just has a bit of a laugh about it. It's no one gets hurt or anything. So I don't know. It's a strange tradition to have streakers. I think you can't make it a violent thing. I don't like her getting crash tackled. I really didn't like it at all. There was no need. As she said, you could have just touched me and I would have fallen over, like she was just, you know, prancing about all over the place.
Yeah.
So I think security guard, he was a bit heavy handed with it. And so I don't like that, but he certainly shouldn't lose his job or anything. I don't like that they don't broadcast it, and they're just like, oh, well, we're not, you're running onto the field because you think your mates at home are all going to see you streak and we're not going to broadcast it. It's like, but they still do it. I mean, maybe they would do it a lot more, but so what? It's a laugh. I mean, gets hurt. Someone runs it. It's funny. Everyone in the crowd cheers. Everyone at home sits and goes, oi, 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 there's a streaker. And everyone from the other rooms come running in. Why take that away? I mean, it's just a bit of harmless fun, I think. So anyway.
Absolutely. Well, we do have the Tigers next week, and hopefully we won't have climate protesters running on in the middle of that match. We don't obviously have Junior Paulo, but, you know, praise be to Murphy. We should be able to put a clinic on them. The one thing I'm a little bit sort of hesitant around is, I hope that we're not the team that puts the nail in Madge's coffin.
No. What I do want to see, I want to see the Bulldogs continue to lose. I have another theory with this one. I think I said it to you before. Trent Barrett gets fired. I honestly think Reid Marnie will have a get-out clause in his contract, because a lot of players, when they sign to a club, it's under a certain coach. So if he's signed to the Bulldogs with Trent Barrett as the coach moving forward, because he spoke to Trent, he's gone, all right, I'm on board with Trent, the way he's going to lead this club. And next thing you know, they say, oh, you know, Madge McGuire is going to be the coach of, you know, the Bulldogs next year. He'll be like, oh, hang on, I'm out. So I'm hoping that Trent gets fired. It's get out clause. We keep Reid. That's my hope there. We should actually start a bit of a poll, maybe. Who's going to go first, Trent or Madge? It'll be interesting to see. I reckon we on the Facebook, we get a poll going. Who's going to get fired first? Because one of them is going.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, one of them's going.
That is
going
a great idea.
Sure.
So make sure, join up to the Para Matters Facebook page. Send us an invite. We would love to have more members. And we will get that poll up this week. And don't forget, you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with T-Dog, where we talk about all the dumb things that happen in NRL. And, mate, so best of luck to Madge. I would like to see Trent go so that your theory comes true. But, yeah, I've got a bit of a soft spot for Madge. I feel a bit sorry for him. However, mate, as we always say here at the Parramatta's podcast, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
The Parramatta's podcast. Find us on Facebook.